This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, welcome to Uncanny Truth Hell. This is Kenny Tezebo, and today I want to talk about a little topic that many black people don't talk about, and that's black men and our emotions. Now, how this topic came about was I was looking through Facebook and I saw an old friend. She made a post and pretty much it just caught my attention. It's something that even I had to think about for a minute, because it's something that we don't talk about when it comes down to black men's pain. So I'm gonna go ahead and read to you what she says right now. I'm starting to notice a lot of guys have deep-seated emotional issues, and half, if not more, come from broken homes. I've never been with a guy who constantly needed me to hug him, hold his hand, and reassure him I love him and care for him. Damn. I mean, I want to be there for you, make sure you're okay, can express yourself, but I don't want to feel like I'm your mother or I'm babying you when I need you to be a man to me. Isn't this the same kind of clingy behavior guys hate from girls? I didn't even realize Buddy had all this emotional baggage going on. Damn, parents really do be dropping the ball. Got a full-grown child, a whole man, 2 years away from being 30, and emotionally speaking, deep down, he's still a helpless child and needs love and nurture. Wow. It's weird how I needed someone to be there for me like I am for him. Never got it. Had to toughen up myself on my own. Now here I am. Life is weird. Life never gave me the people I needed, but somehow I always find myself being that person I needed to others. And that's when I come in and reply with my own little short story. It's basically me talking about how I am one of those people that she's talking about. I come from a broken home myself. Because of that, my mental health itself caused me pain. And we're talking about back in 2008, maybe, who knows, because my pain goes possibly all the way back to since the day I was born. But mentally speaking, I ain't start to feel depression myself until I was 11. That was 2001. That was the first time I experienced depression. Months prior to that, I told a teacher how I was feeling, and she just said it was possibly anxiety because it happened months before December, before Christmas. And you know, kids, they go crazy for Christmas. But for me, it felt like anxiety for a holiday. It felt something more deeper than that. And December came. And this is how pretty much my story goes, where I became a poet. It was late night and I decided to open up the windows. At the same time, we had Comcast at that time, so I turned it onto the Soundscape channel where it was just soothing music. And that's when that feeling came back. And from there, I just picked up a pen and a pad and I started writing. As the cold, because even though in Florida it doesn't get that cold, it was still cold enough outside and windy that when the cold air was coming in and clashing with the hot air, it was warm. It felt nice, and I just started writing and writing. It was, for me, it was a way to vent these emotions. And ever since then, I've been writing poetry. Even as of late, I would say I've been feeling a certain type of way, and the way I express myself is through writing poetry and short stories. So I just found a way to channel my pain in a way. Back in 2008, I believe I was close to turning 18 or was 18. I had a little breakdown in high school because my story goes a lot deeper than just depression. Then a lot happened in between then, and I didn't have a way to express it or deal with that pain. So even though I was writing each and every day, it still wasn't enough. I ain't really talking to no one like that. And I would consider myself a real loner back then. I didn't fit in with no one, whether they were people who shared the same interests as me or not. I didn't feel like I could talk to anybody. And eventually that built up to me saying right there in class, I felt like committing suicide. They end up having me committed. I was watched for 3 days and was just told to toughen up, pretty much. Even before then, I tried telling people, tried telling my parents, or my grandparents, but was still kind of ignored on that situation. So me, I come from that broken home, and it wasn't until I met someone special that I became semi-broken. Now I just consider myself semi-broken. Still broken, just not as bad as back then. Because back then I had not just emotional problems dealing with sadness, but it was also an anger issue. And I pretty much had this to say to her afterwards. Think about it like this. As a black man myself, we're told to suppress our emotions, to toughen up. Men don't cry or share their emotions. These are type of toxic things we're fed as children who grow up into men. If a boy cries, he's beaten until he stops crying and so-called suck it up to be a man. We process our emotions differently, and because of that, many suffer in silence. We could be suffering deeply and no one would know what kind of demons we're dealing with. Back then, I had at least 20 different demons at once, and no one knew or helped me. Still, to this day, I'm suffering inside. And to the point, I think I'm literally thinking about suicide, even now. The thing that saves me from jumping ship is writing poetry or my short stories for my books. It is true, not every woman is comfortable dealing with emotionally damaged guys like myself, but to those we do find, we're grateful for, or at least I am. If I didn't meet my best friend at the time when I did, I possibly would have self-destructed long ago. My anger back then, along with my depression, made me a villain in my own mind, where I don't deserve forgiveness, nor can I forgive myself, along with having a hole in my memory from the trauma. It's something I must live with, and we shouldn't burden you with all that we go through. Which is why, in another way, we keep it to ourselves, because you never know who you're dealing with. You want to share your pain with them, but you don't, because You don't know what they're going through. You don't want them to reject you or be seen as less than a man. And that's pretty much it. So what people don't realize is that we as black men, we do have pain. We suffer our own little way where we pretty much don't feel like we have anyone we can talk to or turn to. And it builds up a lot of the time to the point where it explodes in different ways. For me, also, another thing that makes it so much more difficult is the fact that I do have dark skin. And when I hear people talk about dark-skinned people in a very negative light, I have an anger issue towards that, where I don't know how to just be respectful and tell people my point of view respectfully in a very calm and collective voice. For me, because of the people who I dealt with back then, it built up as an anger, and I tend to explode. And then you're sitting there looking at me wondering what's wrong with him, while in my mind I'm justifying it because you're talking about dark skin and that reflects back on me and how I see myself, because I don't have a problem with my skin. It's just the fact that people see dark skin in a very negative light and stereotype people with dark skin as being stupid, ugly, and worthless, that it angers me. And it's difficult to deal with these type of things because you're told to suppress your anger, to not be emotional, to just pretty much just walk away from it. You're told all these things, and pretty much, what can you do about it? And at the same time, on the other spectrum, we have things that are happening with black women, especially when it comes to their pain. And we're not just talking about physical pain, we're talking about emotional pain as well, where they could be stereotyped into three different categories. But the one stereotype I want to focus on in that is the angry black woman stereotype, where if she shows any little bit of emotion of any kind, then they just write her off as the angry black woman, when all women get angry. But you don't hear them talking about all women having this anger issue. Literally, the most violent women are Hispanic women and white women. They're known to be the most violent when angry. Yet, somehow black women are the ones who get known as the angry black woman, which makes no sense. And it's a stereotype that is put on every black woman, no matter what or who they are. It's to the point where when black women even feel any kind of emotions, they hide that emotion. And it's led to many suicide because they cannot express themselves or talk about it. And society has a way of playing on these emotions. It was just recently that we found out that a dark-skinned black woman killed herself because she was depressed and she didn't have no one to talk to. And it just shows that we need to have our spaces where we're able to talk and not be seen as less than a man or less than a woman, because our emotions are what make us human and tell us that we're not supposed to be emotional, that we're just supposed to hold it all in. It is telling us to go against human nature and to not be human at all, but to be the stereotype that they always thought of us, and as savages, beastly, inhuman. That are things we are not. And we pretty much have to talk about our pain, whether it be to a family member, a friend, or just anyone who's willing to sit there and listen and also not judge you. Because if you have someone who's going to judge you, then are they really your friend? Are they really your family member? The person who truly does listen to your pain and they're there for you as you are there for them is someone who is special and should be kept in your life no matter what. They are the people you should be able to turn to at your lowest, and they'll always be there for you at your height. So that's all I really wanted to talk about, was pain that we feel. Because tonight, I just saw a video through Instagram about a black woman who was from Florida, and she was killed because the doctors pretty much did not listen to her. She had a blood clot within her lungs, Miss Barbara Dawson. And when she refused to leave the hospital, they called the police on her. And when the police got there, she died in full view of the dash cam. Some people are going to just blame the hospital. Some are just going to blame the police, but in reality, it's both. If they would have taken the time to listen to her, they would have found that and possibly could have even prevented her death. And the police is wrong for responding and actually carrying her out. Yes, some people do get rowdy. But why are you calling the police? Are you not actually calling the security to talk her down? Or have someone who's there to able to talk her down or listen? Why is it that every time it deals with our pain, the first thing they do is call the police? What could this woman have done to make her a threat? They don't need a reason to call the police on us. They've called the police on us for selling bottles of water, for being at a pool, for barbecuing, for trying to get inside our apartment buildings, for being inside our homes. There is no reason for them to call the police on us, but they still do in the first place. And this woman died. She lost her life because of just thinking about it is painful, because it pretty much, this could have been a family member of mine. She died of negligence. And seeing and hearing that story brought me to tears, which is why I'm making this, because we have to be able to talk about our pain to one another, and whether it be emotional pain, physical pain, mentally, it's something we should talk about with one another and support one another, help one another. Because these doctors and nurses, they're not going to listen to us. They're not going to help us get the help that we really need. they're just going to dismiss our pain, especially a black woman's pain. Black women are more than likely 10 times to die because no one listens to her pain. Versus if it were a Hispanic woman, a white woman, or whatever, they will listen to their pain because they are not the ones who are dehumanized. So, if you like the content that I'm sharing, the information, please pass it on. And with that said, goodbye.